Okay. Of course, one of the highlights of Parshas Bishalach is the Az Yashir. Perhaps the most famous pasuk from the Az Yashir is Ekeli Vanveu Elokei Avi Varam Amenu. The Farshim and Chumash discuss the double Lasha, and what's the difference between Anvehu and Aram Amenu. Many of Rabbi's drashas have been discussed on these types of themes, but I wanted to focus on one aspect of a very famous halacha, which the Gemara derives from this pasuk. The famous halacha is in the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, on the Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes, Raisa, Detanya, Zach, Kaeli, Vanvehu. Again, this is my God, and I will beautify him. How does one beautify God? His Hisna, Lefanav, the mitzvos. You should make beautiful mitzvos. I say Lefanav, Sukovna. You should have a beautiful Sukov, Lolovna, Veshoferna, Vetzitzna, Sefer Toan, Sefer Torana, and even further, a bigger Chiddush, Vekasava, Vishmo, Vedayonoe, beautiful ink, Vekulmusna, and a nice quill, Lavlar, Uman, etc., etc. Everything being done in a beautiful way, that is the famous halacha of Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah. Within that general halacha of Hidur Mitzvah, there is an interesting rule. And again, the question is often raised, even on a practical level, which is how far does one have to go? How much does one have to spend in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hidur Mitzvah? Ad kedei kach, how beautiful does Esrog have to be? How beautiful does that box have to be, etc. And this is the subject, actually, not of a Gemara in Shabbos, but of a short and important Gemara in the first parak of Baba Kama. It's really a parenthetical remark. I think the Gemara had it in mind because the beginning of Baba Kama is so hard. So I just needed to give you a break from Karen and Shane and Regel. They're like halting cup while it's like 50, 60 blots that are all interconnected, one big... Until the seventh parak, it's all one big sugya, basically. I mean, it's like impossible. So you get like a little bit of a light sugya, so to speak. It's an important sugya, but it's a break, and it's really parenthetical. At the end of Tes Amud Aleph, Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Zeir, Amar Rav Huna, the mitzvah ad shlish. It's interesting, very ambiguous. The mitzvah, when it comes to mitzvot, ad shlish, even one third. So what exactly does that mean? The Gemara doesn't understand. My shlish, what are we talking about? Elema shlish beso, you have to pay up to one third of your full capital, whatever your net worth is. Elamiata, Iyasrami le plus a mitzvasa, le sevlukule beso. So after three mitzvahs, you're broke. Right? One third for tefillin, one third for Shabbos. Right? You're done. That's it. So that can't possibly be that for each mitzvah you have to pay up to one third. So what does it mean? Rather, Ella Amar Abzera Behidr Mitzvah Ad Shlish B'mitzvah. Very interesting formulation we'll get back to. Behidr Mitzvah Ad Shlish B'mitzvah. Behidr Mitzvah Ad Shlish B'mitzvah. You have to pay up to one third. Again, I'm being a little bit vague now. We'll have to be precise in a few minutes. Up to one third to fulfill Hidr Mitzvah. By Ravashi. How much? How do you factor in the third? This is an economics question. By Ravashi. Shmish milagavo shlish melavar, from within or from without, which means as follows. From within would be the more affordable option, which is that if the original mitzvah, let's say, cost $6, so what's one third of six? Two. So you have to pay up to eight to have it more beautiful. The milavar is from without, which is a higher, meaning that in sum total you have to be given a third, which for the math majors, you know, you just have to divide principle in half, and then take that, which means by definition you'll have one third of the sum. So if you had six, divide that in half, that's three. You add three, that means you have to have up to nine, so that when you added the third, your hitter was up to one third, three out of nine. So it's that, whatever percentage that is, more expensive. That's the more chumer digga opinion. How much is it? Which one? Teku. The Gemara leaves that unresolved. And then finally, very intriguing line, which we will also, Mr. Shem, get back to, but Marava Amri, what did they used to say? Mishmer Rabbi Zera, Ad Shlish Mishalo. This whole Ad Shlish, that's from your own personal wealth and accounts. Mikan ve'elech Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? We'll leave that for now. That is the Adkan. We're at the Mishnah. Get back to the difficult Baba Kama stuff. Take a deep breath. that, maybe close the Gemara for the day, come back the next morning. But that's the Gemara Baba Kama Sugya. And basically, what I'd like to start off with is essentially asking the question of how connected really are these two Gemaras. I mean, I didn't try to set you up on purpose, but the natural flow is to assume that there's a connection, but that really is not a given. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about Zakei Van Veil, the idea of doing mitzvahs beautifully. Now we have a Gemara Baba Kama that talks about how much money do we have to spend for Hiddur Mitzvah. So the truth is that Rashi in Baba Kama really does connect them. Rashi says, the Hiddur Mitzvah ad Shlish B'Mitzvah, what does that mean? She'im Motzei Beis Sifrei Toros. Let's say you're looking to buy a Sefer Torah, you want to write a Sefer Torah, and you have two different sofrim, two different options. Liknos, the Echad Hadur Mechavero, and one will be more beautiful, but it will also be more expensive. So how much do you have to do to fulfill this 613th mitzvah? How much more do you have to spend to get the more beautiful version? Says Rashi, that's what the Gemara comes to say, Yosef Shlish Hadamim. Now whether it's, again, the 9 or the 8, that's a teiku in the Gemara, but be that as it may, up to a third more, whatever that means, of the cheaper one, you have to be willing to pay. If the more expensive, fancy one is 50% more expensive, then you don't have to go that far. But if it's just a little bit more, either somehow ad shlish, so then you have to go, not have to, you're supposed to, the hiddur, to go above and beyond to get the more beautiful one. Yigach has a hiddur to buy the more beautiful Torah. The Tanya, as we learned, here comes the connections, that Kelly Van Veya, we smell the fun of the mitzvos, Aselech HaSefer Torah, Nara, Lulav Nara, etc. So again, Rashi understands that our Gemara is putting a qualification on the Gemara there. Basic idea is you have to do mitzvahs beautifully. How much do you have to spend in order to do mitzvahs beautifully? Says Rashi, up to a third. Now the Beis Yosef, in Tav Reish Nun Vav, actually says something very interesting, which relates to the Sisim that all Rishonim agree. But let's say the following. Let's take something a little less ambitious. Not all of us can afford to write our own Sefer Torah, but we all, this is something, can afford to get our own Lulav and Esrei. Let's say you buy what you thought was the Mehudar Zikr one, right? And then you went to one of the local mokum. Then you found out that the Shomer Youth Department has the most beautiful esrogim, and it's a fundraiser for the youth department. What could be better? But they're more expensive than wherever you bought them. You already have a nice little of an esrog, but now you finally can get a better one, more Mehudar. You have to now buy a new one after I already bought one? Says the Beis Yosef, so even though Rashi says you have two in front of you, that was before you bought one. Once you bought one, no, hopefully it'll be nice, you'll do better next year, so to speak. You'll know next year you'll buy it from Shomrei. You don't have to worry about that now. Says Rashi, says the Beis Yosef, listen Rashi, it's the first time you buy it, you should try to buy the nicest one, but after that, don't worry. Tosvos. Ad Shlish B'Mitzvah gives a slightly different case. Pirish Sh'im Matza Esro Ke'egos K'moshe Shiro Chachamim Ve'echad Gadol Mimenu Shlish Yiknehu. On this last point of whether this is before you've bought it once or not, it's not 100% clear to me in Tosfos. We'll see in a moment perhaps other Rishonim being more clear. But says Tosfos, this is essentially nothing to do with the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. This is not about having more beautiful, nicer with the garter, without the garter, with the pitam, yellow, green, all the different hadurim, let's say, for the esrog, has to do with a much more fundamental halakha. What is the minimum size for an esrog? So in fact, it happens to be a debate in Masechet Sukkah. For whatever reason, Tosus here, and some Rishonim follow him, quote, the opinion that I'm pretty sure we do not agree with, we do not hold like, an egos, involved, I believe, it has to be kibetza, minimally. Again, incredibly small. Either way, they're pretty small. That's the minimum shear for an esrog. Says Tosus, let's say you have, or let's say minimal you have in front of you, I'll be less definitive here, the smallest kind. It's kosher, but you can get a bigger one. Shteitzach, that the smallest one is a kula. You can do up to this much. But that's not more beautiful. You drop your glasses. So then, that's what we're talking about. Not a more beautiful one. A bigger one. Again, a bigger one is not a subjective thing. A bigger one, first of all, subjective, what's bigger and what's not. And second of all, a bigger one here relates to its halachic definition. It's not, so to speak, an adjective. It's not beautiful ink. Right? Beautiful ink is the same word. Here, you're talking about a complete redefinition. It's a different chavrut. It's a bigger esrog or not. Says that's where you have to do ad shlish. But, apparently, what What about the other case? Just the more beautiful esrog. So again, for the, it's still a mitzvah. There's still something called a hiter mitzvah. But perhaps this idea that you have to spend more to do it, how much more, even at shlish, perhaps one could infer from Tosfos that that, in fact, is not the case, which would be, again, a way of saying, if one wanted to put it this way, according to Tosfos, this Gemara Baba Kama is not qualifying the Gemara Shabbos. It's talking about, in fact, something much more limited and specific. Yes, yes. It says, no, what I'm saying is that that's the minimum. The shear is that the bar there. So what's the minimum shear? No, no, I didn't mean relative to the base. I mean either one of them are saying, quote unquote, as a kula, that's the minimum amount. The base is also. We're not saying that's the max. We're saying that's the minimum level, not the maximum. That's the minimum. So Tosfos is saying, but according to whoever you possibly like, whichever one, let's call it the Ego's guy. Okay, but if you can get a bigger one, says Tosfos, that's better. And that's what this Gemara here is telling you. How much more do you have to pay for the bigger one? Presumably the bigger one's more expensive. Odd shlish. Again, it's a different case completely than Rashi. Now, first of all, once you're talking about bigger... Oh, well, good. We'll get to that also. We'll get to that. Also, Tosfos, some the Marsha, for example, understands Tosfos meaning literally that... If it's only a little bit bigger, that doesn't make a difference. If it's a third bigger, you get it. That shlish is a third bigger. So the Marsha there and the Chiddush HaGadol explains where does a third come from. So actually it borrowed from Lulav. Well, we have a concept of a third bigger. In terms of
some people made, most people made a third.
Again, well, you and I are talking about is bigger than both of these shurim. I'm not talking, you know, this is what it looks like, and after 6 months when it's hard and yellow, you know, that's now the egos or a kabesi even. That's nothing to that. But the point is that, again, yeah, I think the context of the Gemara Sukkah there, again, is that's the minimum. But no one assumes that that's the ideal. The more gesunt is the more gesunt. I'm not, again, you could say that you could say that at some point there's diminishing returns. I understand that.
That's great perspective. I mean, bigger. I imagine you're saying smaller and larger are the same as far as being perfectly mistaken.
Right, we're not talking about that. That's a different issue. Right, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. Again, this is, I'm just telling you, again, it's not even just Tosfos. The truth of the matter is that I think that more than Tosfos, we'll see shortly, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Smag, which is in the Beis Yosef, they all give this case and not at all like Rashi. So I think that this is an interesting and important machlokes, and I think it could relate really to another machlokes, which I already alluded to. That is, I mentioned that the Beis Yosef says within Rashi, Rashi says you should buy the nicer restaurant. You have a chance to in front of you, but once you've already bought one, and then all of a sudden some guy traveling salesman comes and says, I can have a better one, so right, no one's going to say you have to do even spend up to third to get a nicer one. The truth of the matter is that not everyone agrees with that. The Rosh, here in the first paragraph of Kama, I mentioned you, the Smag from Rabbeinu Tam, say that in terms of what the case is, they give an example of a case like Tosfos. Namely, it's not an issue of nicer, quote-unquote, like a nicer Sefer Torah, nicer Esrog, as with the bigger Esrog. And then they say, this is true even if you already have one. You have an esrog, you already bought one. Now you can get a bigger one. You have the minimum shear, because that's all you could find. Now a bigger one comes to town. Ad shlish, you have to buy the bigger esrog. That is what these Rishonim say. I mean, how do you factor? Yeah, a third above that. Meaning you have to pay. Meaning if you paid six, you have to pay up to nine. You have to pay up to three.
Right.
I think that's the assumption. I think that's the assumption. Again, I don't know how this would work in a more modern market, but I think that's the assumption in the Rishonim. So, the truth is that the Magen Avraham on this Siman Sifat Hey quotes a very important Yom Shel Shlomo. We'll come back to Yom Shel Shlomo in a little bit as well. Yom Shel Shlomo here is in Baba Kama, and he says the following. He says, "Listen, I don't understand. According to this Rosh, there's no end in sight. This one will get me a bigger one, this one will give me a bigger one, or a better one, a bigger one, a better one, a bigger one. It's crazy." So he says, that's what motivated the Rush to not take Rashi's shot. Because Rashi's shot is subjective, a more beautiful one. So you can go on forever. Who knows what's more beautiful? But if it comes to this case of a bigger one, so he says, it's only if it's a third bigger than the previous one. So there's only so long you can go. I mean, how big is an Esther going to be? So its limit, it puts like an artificial ceiling, so the Yom Tov Shlomo suggestion, it puts the artificial ceiling on how many times, you're not going to bankrupt yourself doing this, but how many times could it possibly be that you're going to get something bigger? Okay, you're still not going to find... No. When you be only these Rishonim say that how much bigger the shlish comes into defining that. The other approach is that the third just has to do with how much money you spend. But if you find a nicer one, you have to spend up to a third more to get the nicer one, and up to a third more to get the nicer one. Right. No, exactly. And so the Magen Avraham and the truth and the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz also Bava Kamma. They all say that the reason the Tosfos and Rush and everyone, the reason that they don't hold like Rashi is because they were trying to avoid that problem. According to Rashi, you could go on forever. Now the truth is that you don't have that. According to the Beis Yosef, it's not a problem to begin with. The Beis Yosef says this is a one-time shot deal. But it's interesting that these were shown him when they were considering, if you will, the possibility, according to Rashi, that it means if you have two, one looks nicer than the other one, you have to try to spend more to get that. They thought that that was unlimited. They thought that was boundless. But Yosef said it wasn't. But they assumed it was, and because it was, they said, that's absurd, and therefore they gave a whole nother pshat. That's the way the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains it, and then you also have a Yom Tov Shlomo. You have a Rishon and an Achron, both giving you the same theory behind why this whole school of Rishonim ignored Rashi, or what would be the more likely pshat to compare this and learn this out of the Gemara Shabbos, again, because they thought that that means that there would be no ceiling, and it would be ultimately endless. But again, if you hold like the Beis Yosef, you never would have had that problem to begin with, because Beis Yosef holds it even according to Rashi. Once you have an esrog, you have no mitzvah to exchange it. Yes. You could argue that, and we will. And then a few minutes. Very good. So I think that one could suggest that these two machloksim are very connected. Not only are they connected, as we just saw, that in theory one might be brought to say the rush, give the definition of the case based on if you think you always have to keep on buying, or is it just a one-shot deal? But I think that the truth is not only are they connected in that technical way, in a more fundamental way, they're both connected to a more fundamental lamdash hachakira when it comes to hiddur mitzvah in general. That is, we have a classic kind of a question. Whenever we have a klal, some kind of a rule, which then applies to specific mitzvot, so you have an intersection between two things. You have this more general rule, and then you have the specific mitzvot to which it applies to. So, for example, lifnei iver. Right, lifnei iver, you're not supposed to trip up another Jew, or for that matter, a non-Jew, and anything they're not allowed to do. That's a general rule. Lifnei iver could apply to inviting somebody over to your house and he's going to drive on Shabbos. And lifnei iver could apply to giving someone food to eat and you're not going to make a bracha. So lifnei iver applies to kashrus. So lifnei iver applies to for Shabbos. So if you're over lifnei iver in whatever context, so it begs the question, how do you define the isra that you did? And with the way we, recently in the yeshivas, the way they often formulate this kind of a question is whether the isra is what we call an isra klali. There's a general isra, again, using this as an example, called lifnei iver, which has, in theory, again, not really, but in theory, 613 applications. I guess 612. So 612 applications. But every time you're over it, whether it's Shabbos, Kashrus, etc., you're over the same isra, it's called lifnei iver. Or you say, no, it's not an isra klali, it's what we call an isra prati. And that is that this is like, you know, the man who can wear many hats, isra klali when it's in Kashrus. So then when you trip somebody up, that's part of the isra Kashrus. You trip somebody up in Shabbos, it's part of the isra Shabbos. That's what's called an isra prati. So who was the Nami? We have to ask ourselves the question when it comes to hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah is a general idea, and it'll apply in variety, not limitless, but in a variety of different mitzvah contexts. So when you have a beautiful menorah, so is that a kiyum in hiddur mitzvah, or is that a kiyum in hadlakas neros? Is it a mitzvah klali, so to speak? Is it a din klali, or is it a din prati? That is for sure a question that is asked, an important question. Another way that one could, and I don't think, it's not mukhruch to say the way I'm going to say now, but the way I would like to refine that more general hakira is to say as follows. What's the maila in doing hiddur mitzvah to begin with? We asked this question in Parshvera when we did Reason Makim and Limitzvah. And for those, I have a few who are coming, I think, I'm sure there are a few others, I was on the Shul's broadcasting of Usher Weiss on Wednesday night. He gave a whole shiur on the same satellite shiur on the same question, and that was one of the issues that he was talking about then, which we also spoke about, was that when you do Zuzim and Kibbutz Mitzvahs, you're running to do a mitzvah, but that shows that you're excited to do something. It doesn't affect necessarily the mitzvah, but it shows something about you. The mitzvah may not get done any better. It's a different question. Right? The tefillin aren't any more kosher. But you're excited, you run to do it, it says something about you. So it's possible that that's the fulfillment of Hiddur Mitzvah as well. Right? Tefillin is still tefillin, and Sefer Torah is still Sefer Torah, and Lulav is still Lulav. But by me going out of my way, especially in this case when it comes to spending money, to get a more beautiful one, that's a statement about what my priorities are. It's a statement about what I am mashiv, what I think is important. That idea that it reflects that I love mitzvos, I'm using that as my refined definition of the din kloli. In other words, it's not just a din kloli, it's a din megavra. Meaning it's an expression that I love Hashem, I love mitzvos, I'm happy to do them. Whether it means I'm happy to do Hanukkah nicely, I'm happy to do lulav nicely, I'm happy to do Sefer Torah nicely, but I'm happy to do that. The other possibility, again, just to refine it, it could be to say as follows, that if, whether or not it says something nice about me, I go speak to your mashkiach about that, this is not for us, we're focusing now on the fact that by you doing something beautiful, you have a nice Sefer Torah, so then when you do the Sefer 13 mitzvah, it's not a, just a general din, it's a very specific din in the heft of that Torah. That Torah is now qualitatively enhanced, and that's a kiyum in that, that's the din pradi. And if you'll do a lulav, that's also good, but it's different. The lulav is enhanced. Just to give you a sense, at least, of a possibility where these type of things could perhaps emerge. So one of the questions is as follows. We mentioned that there's an economic question, so to speak. How to define, how to quantify how much you have to spend, right? If it's $6 for the basic mitzvah, you have to spend 8 or 9. The Gemara says, teku. So how do you paskin? A number of Rishonim, including the Rush, say, you know how we paskin? Only 8. Why? Tavak Rabbanan Lakula. Right, the Yamshul Shlomo. What do you mean, Safak Rabbanan Lakula? Is that Kelly Van Vey? Is it Pasuk in Chumash? In Daraisa. So, some say Asmachta. And if I was giving a more general Shon Zakeli Van Vey for Hiddur Mitzvah, I would have many Marmakomas to talk with you about whether it's Daraisa or not. But for the purpose of this year, I want to give you a quote from what does the Yamshul Shlomo himself answer. Yamshul Shlomo says, Evshar de Sover, de Einze de Oraisa, Me'achar She'ena Mitzvah Saseh, Rak Mitzvah Ba'alma, Lahader HaMitzvah. Now what does he mean? So the Stei Chemed quotes this, and he says, you see from the Yamshul Shlomo, basically what you get anyway from the Rush, he holds it's the Rabbanon. His question was, how could you say Sofet Rabbanon Lekula, it's the Raisa? But then he says, no. After all, didn't he say, Efshar de Sover, again, he's explaining the Rush, the Yamshul Shlomo, the Ein Zeh Daraisa. If it's not Daraisa, what is it? The Rabbanon. That's what the Stei Chemed assumes that the Yamshul Shlomo and the Rush throw holding is the Rabbanon. So I saw a slightly different possibility, and a very beautiful sefer called the Birkas Kohen. Birkas Kohen is written by Rav Shimon Deitch, who was one of the Rosh Hashivas in Kol Torah, in Yerushalayim. I don't think he's an older man. I think he's still relatively young. He's written a number of very wonderful sforim, all under the title of Birkas Kohen. And he suggested that more Balabatish, if you will. I had to give you the whole introduction to the Rosh Hashiva. I'm going to give you a Balabatish answer. He says that, listen, one thing he points out, which for sure I agree with, he says, Yamshul Shlomo never said it's the Rabbanon. He says it's not the Oraisa. Me'achar she'ena mitzvah say, but what does he call it? Rak mitzvah ba'ama lahadra mitzvah. He says, don't make any fancy lumdis. It means it's just a hitter. It's not an obligation. It's just a hitter. What does he mean by that? He says, Safik the Oraisa l'chumra only applies to chiyuvim. I'm not sure if I have to do this or not. If it's a Daraisa, you have to be machmir. But even those that can't even veil could be a Daraisa, it's a Daraisa concept. It's a Daraisa concept to be a good guy, go the extra mile, be Mahader. But we don't say Safik Daraisa on a Hiddur L'chumr, we only say that on a Chiyuv. Yes, at least in this context. There's a famous Shita of Tosfos, which it said immediately originally, which is that we don't have a concept of that we only have a concept of the araisa, of achila, etc., he there distinguishes between a mitzvah and a matir. Big, big discussion in Achronim a number of years ago in one of the memorials farm from the Yeshiva, which I edited, Rav Schechter wrote a whole piece just on this idea of mitzvah and matir and achila. But there's no question that on a mitzvah, at least, there could be a lechachila, and a lechachila way of doing the mitzvah, and a b'di'avad way of doing the mitzvah. The chiddush of that tosfos, and there are some who even discuss it in the concept of hiddur, is what about a matir and stuff. Some say, some want to prove the question of the raisa, the rabbanon, from that sheet and tosfos. But that's not our topic. But there is such a concept. I thought, perhaps, maybe a variation on this Berkas Kohen, I thought that this is what he was getting at. I was all excited as I was reading it, and then he just said this pshat. Then I got disappointed, and then I thought about it more. You know, this talk's not a bad shot, but I want to say I think slightly different than him. Is that it relates to this whole idea? Namely, it could be that in Hanami, of course, that Zakez Avail is Daraisa, but it's a Daraisa not as a din prati, so to speak, in the Chepta. It doesn't define the actual mitzvah. It's a more general idea that expresses my love of Hashem, my excitement to do mitzvahs. And it could be that as important as that is, on such a type of halakha, which is not a din in the actual mitzvah itself, just a general din in my gavra, that perhaps there we don't say suffix daraisa l'chomer, and therefore again, I think he's right, the diuk is correct. I think, again, the mechilas kvodo, I think Sechemed perhaps missed it, because he never says it's the rabbanon. But perhaps, that I agree with the diuk of the Berkas Kohen, but I think perhaps the explanation relates to this chakira I was mentioning, again, which is a well-known chakira, that perhaps it's only a din in the gavra. Perhaps just to give you one more mara makom, Rashi and Yuma, perhaps this is the most well-known, Rashi and Yuma basically says it's beferish. He said the Gemara there is talking about bringing on Yom Kippur, bringing Sefer Torah to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Azara. Everyone has to bring their own Sefer Torah. So he says, Rashi explains, why do you have to do this? Laharos noyel shel Sefer Torah, tiferes ba'aleha. Are you showing this beautiful Torah that you put in so much effort to do? Shetarach lihisnaos b'mitzvah, shenemar zakeli van vehu. So by the end, he mentions zakeli van vehu. But what's the whole focus until then? The owner, the gavra. He's not talking about how, it's not a kiyum in the Sefer Torah. It's a kiyum that I was Torah la'asasa. I worked so hard to make such a beautiful Sefer Torah. Showing that, demonstrating the effort that I put in, my love, that is part of Zekei Zaveihu. Getting back to our sugya, if you assume that there are these two possibilities, so I think one could suggest the following. The gavra, yeah. I mean, you could make that. Right, or is that Kaili? We're not talking about... Right, but the question is, again, what does the Gemara do with it? Because the Gemara is the Zalafon of the mitzvot. Which one do you see as dominant? So I think one could argue the following. If you focus on whether it's beautiful, right, it's a nice ink or not, something to that effect, the Sefer Torah with pure ink or nicer ink is still the same Sefer Torah. Perhaps, right, the lulav is still the same lulav. It's a nicer lulav. Esrog is an esrog is an esrog. However, by making a nicer one, right, a beautiful, more beautiful menorah, right, the oil versus candles on Hanukkah, the mitzvah has not changed. So what's the hitter? So there, perhaps, the hitter is the idea of what does that show about me? I think that's what Rashi said. You have two sefer Torah. You can buy which one. Spend up the shlish to buy the nicer one, it's not changing the Sefer Torah, but it is making a statement about me. The one mahalach in our Gemara, which seems to focus not so much on the person as much as on the actual chepsa of the mitzvah, is of course Tosfos u'd'imam, who focus on the size of the esrog. Again, when I first mentioned it, people were kind of poo-pooing, oh, just the size, what's the big deal? So again, I'm not here to discuss the relative aesthetic merits of bigger versus smaller, right? Talk to people who are selling your house, right? Bigger seems to get more, right? So they're usually, okay, but sometimes people prefer smaller, right? I'm a minimalist when it comes to my art personal taste. All right, everyone, again, I'm not here to talk about subjective aesthetics. The bottom line is, though, at least in this case, as I say, bigger is for sure, again, might be at some point where it's diminishing returns, but certainly above and beyond the minimum is considered better. I just rely on the cabeza, to egos, that's a cool and it works, according to the Shita, but no one would say that's ideal. But there, Tosfos is saying, what's the ad shlish? When you're not just doing something nicer. You're totally redefining the chepsa shel mitzvah. To do something nicer, there's such a concept. That's the Gemara Shabbos. But there's two dinim. There's that.